try to get a hold of it way back when.
It was still operating.
It's a little mess in the kitchen.
Welcome. Spent the last few months looking under every rock.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
A little what? Holiday hug.
How are you? Nice to see you. Happy holidays.
They don't keep money in the rocks. It's really insane.
I don't know. I watched it where we fit.
Isn't that nice?
We have two special presentations before we actually come to full order as a city council, and I would like to, with the council's permission, hear the presentation from the Mutare Sister City Association prior to gaveling in, and then we're going to get we'll have another special presentation from Commissioner Fish. So. Austin, who's coming forward? Okay. We have a very special guest today.
Very special guest.
Who has traveled a great distance.
36 hours.
36 hours.
Wow.
To be with us today, and we're very happy to have you here, very honored. And would you like to begin?
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us. My name's Maria. I'm the current president of the Portland Mutare Sister City Association, and it's more than an honor. I'd say it's a little more of a holiday miracle to be able to introduce Veronica Gnoni to you today. She is the headmistress of the primary school at St. Warburg's Community, which is the school in the rural area of Mutare. And she's also our coordinator for the Portland Mutare Sister City and Africa AIDS Response in Zimbabwe. Veronica's an extraordinary woman and person that I hope someone is always able to meet in their life. She profoundly touches so many people, from children that you'll see in a very quick video that we'll be showing who have been orphaned and lost both of their parents to HIV, ensures that they stay in school, that they remain clothed, that they eat, to coordinating the bicycles that Portlanders delivered last year, so that not only are the bicycles used to visit people in the rural areas and coordinate healthcare, but also to make sure the children get to ride them and have some fun on them also. To coordinating her community and women with HIV and bringing them in to her school to help educate, as well as to help them continue their microeconomic projects that they work on. So I've been to Mutare and have had the privilege of knowing Veronica for the past 10 years, though she's been in this position for the past 19 years. And last year we had the privilege, 19 of us, a city delegation went to Zimbabwe and spent 10 days there in Mutare. And I like to think that we had a small impact there, but I can tell you that it's nothing that the impact of this one woman has when she comes here and has visited numerous schools and SEI and a variety of places. So it's my privilege to have her here with us. And I'm going to just show you a quick 2-minute little video, which features Veronica. So now I know a couple of you have already seen it, but you're going to see it again for 2 minutes, but you'll be able to connect Veronica with that. And then Veronica will speak with you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. In Zimbabwe, we say all protocols observed, saying that I'm giving honor to everybody who is in this room. It's my special honor and privilege to address you this morning, and greetings from Zimbabwe, Mutare in particular. We call Mutare the jewel city of Zimbabwe, and it is in the eastern gateway to Mozambique. We are privileged that we have been in contact with Portland, and especially our school, which is a mission school under the Anglican Diocese of Manicaland, which is an Episcopal school. And we are running these several programs, which include women empowerment, the orphaned children. And as it is now, the impact has grown even bigger. You see the number of children, we had 805 in 2005, but as of this year, we now have 980 children. And we have had a lot of material support as well as human resource support, because we now have 6 teachers who have now degrees, including myself, who has got 3 of them. And we also have a lot of stationery, a lot of pencils, a lot of crayons, and we are doing new subjects like art and craft, home economics, and we are also doing physical education. The visit by the Portlanders had a lot of impact, like, for example, Austin brought a daughter, Gabby, who had to play women's soccer, and we now have a club of women and children, and the children who are playing women's soccer are called Gabby Shooters. And we also have a mother's shelter. Those women who are giving birth in the rural areas can now come at the clinic, and they get housed at the women's shelter, and they stay there for almost 2 or 3 weeks, making sure they are well catered for. They have blankets, they've got beds, and they be in a shelter. We also got an ambulance, which is a rare commodity in Zimbabwe, because in a distance of about 100 kilometer radius, that's the only ambulance that services the whole place. And they've got quite a number of other teachers who are applying to come to our school as well as children, but we cannot take in everybody. As you have seen that we have written, hope is vital. We always hope for the best. And it's you, Portlanders, and everybody else who has made another very good day to our people in Zimbabwe and the world over. May I take this opportunity to thank you all and continue helping us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and
we look forward to growing on the partnership between Portland and Mutare and your great school. Thank you for all the efforts that you do. We also have a special announcement. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Would Ed Blackburn, Executive Director, and Tracy Manning, Chief Operating Officer of Central City Concern, please come forward? Mayor and colleagues, last week, Ed Blackburn was in Washington attending an event at the White House, and yes, he was on the guest list. And he met with the president, and in the course of his visit, he learned that Oregon and his organization in particular had been singled out for a very special recognition and a federal grant which will allow them to do something quite remarkable in our community. We wanted to celebrate that here today and invite them to come in and share the good news. Ed?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish and Mayor, for having us here this morning. I got a call last Monday from Senator Merkley's office saying we have this letter here from the White House saying that you're going to be attending a meeting with the president Wednesday morning. And do you know anything? You don't know what this is about or why they're inviting you? And I said, I didn't even know we're invited. And I said, no, this, you know, and I'm thinking this stuff happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me, right? So the next day, Tuesday morning, we did get a call from the Health Resources Services Administration saying, you are going to be there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, are you not? And so by noon, I was on a plane for Washington, D.C. And this actually did happen, didn't it?
Yes, okay. It did.
It is. There were 30 of us, community health center directors, invited from around the country to this meeting. When we got there, we weren't sure why we were there, actually. Thought it might have something to do with health care reform. But just a few minutes before the president came to the meeting, it was announced it was about these grants. So what happened really was we had been trying to get a hold of the Burger King site for several years and could not find a pathway to finance the acquisition and renovation of the building. But early last summer, it had become a magnet for camping and for some drug dealing activity there, and residents of the Harris building were expressing some concern about that. So I asked staff to look into who had ownership of the building at the time, and it turned out the building was in foreclosure. By a bank in California. So we began the negotiating process. We still had no pathway, but then the Health Services Resource Administration with stimulus money had been announced that there would be $100 million available for community health centers to do renovation or build new buildings. So we applied back in August with about a two-week notice application. So our staff worked hard on getting that in, but it was very competitive, over 600 applicants. And when we found out last week, we were the only one in Oregon, unfortunately, that was able to receive a grant. Now, I want to say that we are honored to be in a position to bring these resources to Portland, but we would not be in that position if it wasn't for strong partners, supporters in our community, such as the City of Portland. You all sitting up there have been supporters of ours, the county, Multnomah County, and our donors and our other partners in the community. So it's been an honor. It's a little under a $9 million grant. We are working on a new market tax credit deal, and we have some other investors who are interested in helping us with this. And so we're on the fast track. And with this grant, they want us moving, as you know. You're familiar with this. And so we'll be seeking some assistance on the permitting process, some attention, to see if we can get this thing moving. They'd like us to break ground as soon as possible, and I'm sure the community would. We've got good support from the business community in the area, of course, because it has been a problem, that site, for a number of years now. I also want to mention why I think we were competitive in this grant. And I think it is a reputation of the City of Portland and what's been done about homelessness here. It's the reputation of the other community health centers in the area and the wonderful work they do. The Old Town Healthcare Clinic is why we were eligible to apply for this grant. It is a healthcare for the homeless healthcare center. It is funded by the Health Resources Service Administration through a grant, and we do get special reimbursements for treating homeless people with high acuity in terms of their medical conditions. That Old Town healthcare clinic in the last 2 or 3 years has become a national model. We have a partnership with Oregon Health Sciences University Internal Medicine Department. All of our MDs are on the faculty of the Internal Medicine Department, and residents from the Internal Medicine Department do regular rotations through through the Old Town Healthcare Clinic, and has become a national model for delivering care to homeless people. The other thing that happened last year is that Multnomah County asked us to take over the Cascadia, the former Cascadia Mental Health Clinic on 12th Avenue in Washington due to some financial troubles they were having at the time. So the recommendation from an auditor was to close that that mental health center, which would mean that 500 very seriously mentally ill people, who many have been homeless and vulnerable to homeless, would be without a clinic in that area. So we agreed to take it over, and the staff have done a remarkable job of creating a wonderful center there for people with serious mental illness. However, it is on a lease, and the lease is due. I think it's in 12 months, and the owner, who's been great to us, wants to redevelop that property. So what this grant will allow us to do is take that clinic, move it to the current site of the Burger King, and expand primary health care at the Old Town health care clinic, which will allow us to serve another 1,300 homeless people with primary care and mental health and alcohol and drug addiction treatment. So it's going to be a great project for the people that need it. It's going to be good for the neighborhood, and I think it'd be good for the city. With that, I would like Tracy to...
Thank you. So obviously, I mean, I think as Ed said, we stand with as amazing partners in being able to do what we do. I want to thank our project team. As Ed talked about, the timelines on these things are just insane. And Gertie Needland Development, Sarah Architects, and Walsh Construction Company have been part of a lot of great projects in our community and have been supportive of Central City Concern many, many times when we couldn't pay them. And so we really appreciate their help in getting this off the ground. 111 construction jobs in the city of Portland will be funded through this project, 11 new permanent jobs at a minimum, although staff are already looking at expanding. And I think coming from a housing background, housing resources for homeless people are scarce. Resources to build healthcare facilities are even more scarce, in particularly in the community health centers where you're trying to serve people who have no means to provide their own healthcare, who have perhaps behavioral health challenges, alcohol and drug addiction, mental health issues, chronic disease that tends to follow that. It is a deeply sad statistic that they've found that people with a very serious and chronic mental illness die on average 25 years younger than all the rest of us. And what the emerging belief is the way to deal with this is to provide primary care in a behavioral health care setting where people are receiving their mental health services. This is the best knowledge that we have right now about how to deal with that. And so I this opportunity to have money to build a new health center to provide what's really, you know, cutting-edge health care for people who are homeless, people who are low income, we are so privileged and so excited, and I am really looking forward to being able to share our progress, to share the opening. We are not going to reuse the existing building. We are scraping it. We will invite all of you to be there on that day, and all of you too. And so just really grateful to have this opportunity and to share with you the victories as we go through this process. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much, Commissioner Fish, for inviting us today.
Thank you.
Our honor.
Did you have anything you wanted to add?
I just want to say that, Mayor, we invest over $1,200,000 in general fund monies in programs run by Central City Concern. That's services, transitional housing, affordable housing. And we have also invested substantial TIF resources in Rose Quarter housing. So they are among the best of the best in the nonprofit world that we contract with and that we partner with. So this is their accomplishment, but we're proud to recognize them for what they've done for our community.
Good job. Thank you very much.
And I do want to mention the president is a very impressive person.
City Council will come to order. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. We have four people signed up under Council Communications. Can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1715?
Request of Patrick Johnson to address Council regarding solutions for homeless, cart, and bedding issues.
Mr. Johnson? Mr. Johnson? Apparently not here. Can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1716?
Request of Ulysses Hardiman to address Council regarding lack of respect for the City Charter and Oregon and U.S. Constitutions.
Mr. Hardiman, welcome back. Glad you're here.
Good morning, Your Honor. Salzman, Smith, Fritz, Leonard. If the Council would be so...
Carla.
Patience, and thank you for your patience over these ensuing months. You know, since way back in March, been trying to get back my car and my contents and get on with my newspapers and pizzas, and it still hasn't reappeared. I'm informed by the young lady who you had me meet with the last meeting that they sold the car. The judge told me they sold my car, I could sue them. I'm wondering, is there any chance the city could reimburse me for the car so I can get another one and just go ahead on? Listening to the sums of money you guys talk about, and Mr. Mayor Adams, I mean, your mentality amazes me. I'm reading all these juggling, balancing acts, and you're getting this done and that done, and I don't see how you keep up with all of it. Obviously, you are quite intelligent and diligent, and appreciate your concern about my little problems. But I'm a scion of my family. I'm all they got. I buried both my grandmothers. I buried my mother. I've got to make some money so I can get back in touch with my sisters and brothers. They don't know what they're doing out there. Is there any chance, if my car has been sold, will the city consider to reimburse me so I can get another one? It's a 79 Buick. They're good for 10 to 12 miles to a gallon, so I guess it would be a gas guzzler. Would the city please consider that, to reimburse me so I could get another car? Just go ahead on and deliver some pizzas and some newspapers. See, the plan is simple enough. There's a guy out in Florida that'll sell me a hot dog cart and get it out here to me. If I get him his money, he says he'll ship it for free. The United States hot dog carts out in Florida.
I don't know that I've worked with any constituent in more detail or more closely than you, Mr. Hardiman. We continue to try to be helpful.
Isn't it something that our efforts have been so unavailable? I mean, I've paid, all the fees have been paid. The car is tagged, the car is licensed, it's insured, I'm ready to go. I got a driver's license in my pocket. Everything should have worked like clockwork.
Well, I know your situation in great detail, and I have a lot of respect for you, and I want to be as helpful as possible while trying to treat everyone as fairly as possible. My staff stands ready to do what we can.
They tell me there's nothing they can do.
Well, your car has been sold because...
That's what they're telling me. They're telling me the car has been sold.
It really has been sold because of lack of payment of...
So they're telling me that the car was confiscated and sold because I owed some ticket money and they sold the car. My understanding is only the IRS can do that. If you owe the IRS money, they can come and take your house and your whatever and whatever and sell it.
Well, I've learned a lot of the details of our rules and regulations around fees, fines, and the city's ability to sell cars and vehicles that have fallen into that. We've worked really hard to try to work with you.
But, Your Honor, with all respect, the car was parked, it had one driving wheel on public pavement. You couldn't even legally tow that car.
Right.
That's why some sergeants wouldn't tow it. The meter girl pulled in some favors and got H&D to come from way out in 111th. That's 6 or 7 miles out to come and rip that car off.
Mr. Hardiman, my staff and I remain available to you. This is it's in this kind of forum, it's hard to speak freely on all the details. I know we've sat down with you and gone through some of those. I'll continue to try to problem solve with you. I appreciate you've been a good advocate on your own behalf, and we're trying to be as helpful a partner as we can. So thank you.
Well, please avail the thought of letting me help, helping me to get another one.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Oh, and Merry Christmas, but I don't see you before then.
Merry Christmas. Can you please read the title for Council Communications item number 1717?
Request of Sharon Maxwell Hendricks to address Council regarding youth violence and small businesses in Northeast Portland.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. Happy holidays.
And to you.
Thank you for opening doors up to the people in the community. I'm Sharon Maxwell Hendricks, and I have two things that I want to address: youth violence. I'm going to try to stick to my script here because I know my time is short. I'm a mom of four children, ages 17, 19, 21, and 24. Three of them are in college. One of them is incarcerated. I want you to really hear what my heart is saying this morning. Equity, inclusion, access, involvement, successful inner city schools, community programs that impact the target groups, small business growth for African American and families having employment. That's what I want you to hear. I want to state that as far as the African American community, Northeast Portland, I believe we've been in a warfare against drug and violence since the early 1980s. I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman and Senator Chip Shields for coming to Jefferson along with the group of people to bring a group that are targeting our young people. But that's just the scratching the surface. I felt that if I had have had those resources previous to my son being incarcerated, he would not be there. I want to say we need that to be more consistent. I was the only parent there that I could see that evening. It was all of those groups there, but where were the parents? We need to really get the word out. I want to recommend that Jefferson High School be considered for the School of Architect and Construction, School of Law, School of Business, School of Medicine, and School of Public Policy. I want to ask that the city have better relationships with the faith-based community and really see how there can be a better partnership to address communities that have strong faith-based communities. Also, I want to say that as a community member, we've been hearing for a long time, you know, that the programs are going to help us. I've seen Mississippi, Alberta Street all be developed without any benefit from the Black community. It's been very scarce. Okay, I want to thank OWAMI. I want to thank the African American Chamber, NAMCO, the Hispanic Chamber, but more has to be done. More has to be done to help small businesses, people really become entrepreneurs. We've been talking about living wage employment way too long, and no employment has happened. I know we are right now in an economic distressful time, but something definitely has to change because gangs are about economics, violence about economics. If the young people cannot see that they can be accepted, that they can contribute, that they can have some success, they're turning to other things, okay?
And ma'am, your time is up, but your words are very well made and well spoken. If you wouldn't mind stopping by my office on your way out of the building and ask for Amy Stevens, we started and the council helped funded Youth Corps. That, among other things, gave 1,200 summer jobs last summer, and 33% of them were to African-American youth. So we're working hard to address this, and you're right, we have a lot more to do. So we would love to work with you and others to keep a focus on success and progress in the issues that you mentioned.
Thank you very much for hearing me. And just one last thing. Apprenticeship is just not about a starting apprentice. It's about journeying out. We have to see more people of color journey out and become project managers, superintendents, so that our children have role models. Thank you.
And business owners.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1718?
Request of Hector Laura Cervantes to address Council regarding illegal experiments in government and medical systems.
Good morning. Welcome back to the City Council. We're glad you're here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, Mayor, last time I was here, I asked...
Sir, could you lift the mic up?
And for the record, just state your name, please.
My name is Hector Laura Cervantes. Last time I was here, I was stating the fact the illegal experiments and operations that were actually occurring. Also, the involvement of law enforcement has been involved in illegal experiments of implantation of these devices for the fact that there were several arrests that occurred in California and also in Washington, D.C., and also in Chicago regarding this matter. As I stated before, that I was also looking into an investigation, a federal investigation, to come in to investigate this matter. As I also stated before, I got two daughters that are also victims of this. Right now, I'm in concert with a couple of senators, Senator Feinstein, Senator Bob Boxer, and Senator Hagel out of Nebraska, for the fact is that I was in concert with him with the fact when the arrest occurred in Washington, D.C. But I also asked the commissioner also to look into this matter. Another thing is that there's a lot of retaliation against me for the fact is that I'm coming up forward and speaking about it in the city council. For some reason or another, there's law enforcement, not only here in the Portland area, but also in Washington County area, that's been a lot of retaliation towards me. As I stated to the senator, I guess, you know, once the investigation starts and whatnot, but my main concern here is, to me, is basically the safety and the welfare of the people of not only the city of Portland, but also the state of Oregon. Also, as I stated before, I used to be a speaker in the state of California back in the late 90s or mid-90s. But the thing is, to me, is the fact is that it's a very important issue. And, you know, it's a very important concern. And I think that the city of Portland should be also looking into this matter. And basically, I believe last time I was here with the former mayor, was of the fact that he wanted some documentation stating about the events that actually occurred. But the thing is, to me, is the fact is the I think bringing it up here to the city council and bringing it up for the information that I have, I think that it would facilitate in a way for the people of the city of Portland and also for the state of Oregon. Basically, that's all I want to say right now.
Well, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Cervantes, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
That concludes the four items of communication and moves us to our 9:30 time certain. We're running a little late, but we'll make up for lost time. But before we do that, we will do the consent agenda. Thank you, Carlo. Are there any items that anyone wishes to pull off the consent agenda? All right, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Can you please read the title for time certain presentation, item number 1719?
Recognize Casey Jama, recipient of the 2009 Lowenstein Trust Award.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like at this point to invite Michelle Harper and Casey Jama to come forward and take a seat. And I have a brief opening, and Joe Hertzberg, excuse me, and I have a very brief opening statement. Last year, I was honored to present the 17th Annual Steve Lowenstein Trust Award to Mark Jolin, the executive director of JOIN. This year, it's a great honor for me to be asked again to present the award to Casey. This award is named for attorney, author, and civil rights activist Steve Lowenstein. Steve was the founding director of Oregon Legal Services, a Peace Corps volunteer, and a tireless advocate for social justice. Steve wrote that the recipient of the Trust Award, quote, shall be that person who demonstrates the greatest contribution to assisting the poor and underprivileged in the city of Portland, Oregon. This year, I'm pleased to announce that Casey Jama has been selected as the recipient of the award. Casey is the founder and executive director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing, CIO, a diverse grassroots organization working to build a multiracial, multicultural movement for immigrant and refugee rights. Through CIO, Casey and his team have helped countless Portlanders, many from historically underrepresented communities, engage with civic life. And they have done so in a variety of ways, creating on-site immigrant and refugee-led media production studio, advocating for change in our state legislature, connecting people to city services, and facilitating a stronger relationship between local school districts and the English language learners that it serves. And like many of those in the nonprofit world, Casey doesn't do it for the money. In economic times such as this, it is immensely gratifying that we are able to offer this award to someone who in turn supports the many vulnerable citizens in our community. Finally, this is not the first major award that Casey has received recently. Last year, he was the recipient of the 2008 Skidmore Prize for his work. Casey, congratulations. And Michelle, if you could take it from here.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, City Commissioners Fish, Salzman, Leonard, Fritsch, and Fish. Michelle Harper, I'm the board chair of the Steve Lowenstein Trust. It gives me great pleasure to come before you this morning and present this award to Casey Jama. I would like to acknowledge our board at this time. No one does this work alone, and we are the stewards of his legacy. We each have a special relationship with Steve, and he has inspired us for many, many years and to bring us to this day to give you this presentation of this honor to Casey today. Some of the board members that are here today, Jamal Folsom, would you stand? Margie Harris, Joe Hertzberg, of course, Paul Kelly, and myself. I'd also like to acknowledge Jerry.
Ron Paul.
Oh, and Ron Paul. Oh, I didn't see you sneak in. Ron Paul, sorry. Ron Paul as well. Thank you for your work. Incredible work. Every year, I try to convince them to let me step down a chair, and I never get to that point. They always kind of pull a coup, and it really is a joy to serve on this board, and the work that we do gives a great deal of pleasure to all of us. It's something we look forward to every year. I'd also like to acknowledge Jerry Williams, who is a past recipient of this award from 1996. Jerry, would you stand? I'd like to introduce Joe Hertzberg, who is a board member, who will give you a few remarks about Steve, his life and legacy, and why we're committed to do this work.
Well, I just want to say a few words about Steve because I'm not sure that you all knew him personally, although Nick knew his mom, Evie, in New York.
And in fact, my next-door neighbor.
Right. And actually, she worked for the city of New York at one time writing poison pen letters for Mayor Koch. You know, when people wrote in, she wrote back.
And she probably did more than any person in New York to create the Green Market Movement, which was launched in Union Square. So,
yeah, and actually, I think she was in an Ozzy Osbourne video not long before she died last year. Real pistol. So, you know, full disclosure, Steve was my closest friend, and I think there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about him. And I don't think about the sort of, you know, bio stuff. I don't think about War on Poverty and his work in Africa, Latin America. Oregon Legal Services, you know, I thought of him yesterday when I had a rare dessert at lunch and thought about the fact that he ate dessert after every meal. And when he decided he was going to eat healthier, he cut back to only one dessert a day. He had an infectious cackle of a laugh. He had terrible taste in clothes and movies. When he died, I went through his closet thinking I'd have some clothes that, you know, would remind me of him. I found one shirt, two ties, and a belt, and everything else went to Goodwill. In fact, you know, I want to talk about his work in City Hall a little bit, and one thing that he always told me was, at that time, it was a different day, he was Mike Lindbergh's chief of staff, executive assistant at that time, and it was the days when Bud Clark was mayor. He started when Frank Ivancy was mayor. Council members included Margaret Strawn, Dick Bogle, Earl Blumenauer, Bob Koch. Steve was trusted and respected, I think, as a straight shooter, a consensus builder, and a passionate advocate for the disadvantaged. But as I say, it was a different day. Steve parked his car right by the 4th Avenue door, old white Toyota, and he parked right by that door every day before, you know, ADA, before Homeland Security. It was a time when people wore suits every day. And so when I did that brief stint as a interim bureau director, the first thing that I did was to buy a suit. And I never wore it once. So I wore it today to try to get some use out of it, along with the tie that I took out of Steve's closet. Mike Lindbergh, who just got back from Mexico and wasn't feeling up to being here today, I think he caught something down there, allowed Steve to work as long as he could, even after he had surgery. And Steve insisted that in his last days he was more effective than ever because nobody could say no to somebody that had cancer. So he worked the halls very carefully at that time, using every asset he had. Almost 20 years after his death, I can assure you that every one of you has people in key leadership positions in your bureaus that think of Steve as a mentor and a role model. His last sort of major project was this book about the Jews of Oregon, 1850 to 1950. It's a book about a tribe of immigrants and refugees who came to Oregon, settled here, and made a huge contribution to this state. The story of immigrants and refugees in Oregon is still going on, and someday somebody's going to write a book like this about our current generation, and I'm sure that Casey will figure prominently in that. I know that Steve would have been proud that this award is going to Casey, and he just would have really liked Casey personally.
Casey?
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Sam Adams, Commissioner Dan and Nick Fish and Amanda Fritz and Randy. Good morning, Portlanders who are here, and good morning, others. It's an honor to accept Steve Lowenstein's award, and I want to thank the trustees for allowing me and to do the work that I do, and also recognizing the importance of the work that the Center for Intercultural Organizing does. I want to be clear, this is not about me at all. This is about the work that many, many leaders in our community who are dedicated the issues and the challenges that the immigrant refugee community face in our community. So before I quickly finish my note, I want to recognize some folks who are here today. So first, I want to see if folks who are the CIO board members and staff members who are here, please stand. As I said, also, there's someone who is in this room also who had made a huge impact in my life, who contributed and also a co-founder of the Center for Intercultural Organizing, someone who, without her, I wouldn't be here standing in front of you, someone who's dedicated also to social justice movement, and also in her own way, an amazing leader, community leader, and that's my wife, Stephanie Stephens. Could you please stand? Stephanie and I are happy to announce that we're expecting to win. So there will be a first, a new generation of Portlanders. Finally, I just want to conclude by saying that the immigrant refugee community members who are working at the Center for Intercultural Organizing, who are this award is going to them today, have dedicated their life and energy to make Oregon and Portland to be more socially and economically equitable. The leaders like Gracia Melendez, who are here, who is dedicated 7 days a week for her time to make this Portland to be more inclusive. Someone like Murad Nurgiyadif, who is also here today, who is dedicated for his life to create a project that is supporting the inclusion of the immigrant refugee community in Portland. Someone like Josh Eddings, who are today not be able to come here because he's in Colorado trying to learn how to work with the issues and the media and inclusion of the immigrant refugee community, and he's in Colorado today attending a conference. And also, leaders like Pilot, Pan-Immigrant Leadership and Organizing Training, who decided to pass and put aside their difference of cross-cultures, cross-race, cross-ethnicity, and decided to work together hard to make Portland and Oregon to be more inclusive. And finally, also, all our partners, including DCL partners, Diversity and Civic Leadership partners, such as ONI, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Urban League of Portland, NEIA, IRCO, Latino Network, and all other 70 organizations that Center for Intercultural Organizing partners every year. I want to thank them all, and I wanted to know that the work that we are doing will be continue and will be making Oregon to be more inclusive and to be Portland to be a welcoming and inclusive community for all communities. Thank you very much.
I'd like to say a little bit about Casey. Casey Jama, recently naturalized, was raised in Somalia, came to the United States as a refugee from the Somalia Civil Wars. For the past 6 years, Casey has devoted his life in Portland to building bridges and empowering and reaching out to others. He was determined to help those new to America to find common interests and their needs, despite all the challenges of people coming from different places, ethnicities, and religious and national origins. He, in partnership with all of those who are part of CIO, have helped strangers become friends and family in a very new home. He has helped Portland better embrace a diverse and inclusive future. At the core of CIO's work is education and empowerment, teaching the newly arrived of their opportunities, rights, and responsibilities in shaping their own futures and helping to shape the future of their new home. They conduct an array of trainings to help them with navigate through government, building community, talking about their differences, being able to build and strengthen each other, and provide support. For some, the right to have a voice and voice their opinion without fear of reprisal is a very newfound freedom for them here. Casey is an extraordinary person, and he is the first one to tell you that it's not about him, that he's a very modest person. But Casey is a very strong advocate. He's a person who I believe has created a vision for many who come here with many uncertainties, that they have a voice, they can be heard, they have the opportunity to create their own destiny. He carefully guides them to take steps on this journey. He provides them with the bridge of cultural understanding for all of us to cross over and work together to be better. This award and our recipient represents all that is good in the city of Portland. Passionate, commitment, servant leadership. And I am pleased to be able to present this award to Casey Jama on behalf of the Steve Lowenstein Trust this morning.
Very nice.
Photo op.
Would you like us to come forward?
Yes, that would be great.
Mayor, can we do a quick picture?
Sure.
Thank you.
On behalf of Steve Monsman Trust, I present to you this award on behalf of the incredible, extraordinary work that you've done. All the commitment and passion and everyone who you've helped and you've helped them cross over this bridge to know the Portland is a safe place for them to be, and this is a new home. I honor you this morning. Thanks.
May I just add one thing?
Please.
I wanted to, I have a long write-up about Casey, and in the interest of time, I won't go through it. I just wanted to thank you for all of your work with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. You co-chair the Budget Committee, and that we really appreciate that. You serve as a mentor to other young leaders through the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program, and you're certainly a valued partner with the Office of Human Relations. So thank you for all that you do to help us know that new Portlanders are Portlanders, and we greatly appreciate that you are here and that you are part of our community.
Thank you. Carla, can you please read the title for the 10 a.m. time certain, item number 1720? This is a resolution.
Require city bureaus to include at least one minority evaluator provided by the Alliance of Minority Chambers on all contractor evaluation and selection panels awarding city contracts in excess of the formal solicitation thresholds for contracts that are not awarded on the basis of lowest responsible bidder.
Commissioner Leonard, are you out there? I lost you. You stepped out. Yeah, we got an eyesight on Commissioner Fish.
I'll move the question.
Second.
There he is.
All right, Commissioner Leonard. Introduced your resolution.
Thank you. I could have Roy J. come forward. Mayor Adams and Council, as you know, there's no council that has been more focused on opening up our city to opportunities that historically in other cities extend only certain segments of the population. We work to make sure when we reach out to our community to do business that people of color, women, and emerging small businesses have an equal shot at getting a contract. For all of our good intentions, for all of our hard work, for all of the efforts on the part of those of us who want to do better, we have not got to where we want to be. In an effort to try a different strategy to get us to where we want to be, this resolution today will require that from this point on, any contracts the city does that include RFP committees include one member of the minority community, and at least one member, and then proportioned on up, dependent upon the number of people on the RFP committee. I work closely not just with the minority chambers, but a variety of folks in the community in developing this resolution. Ty Kovach on my staff was key in helping get this before us today in the state that it is, and I certainly thank him, and I want to thank Roy and all his constituent members in the work they've done so far. We had a meeting here a few weeks back where, I don't know if there was 40 or 50 folks in the room, but from that point on, it became kind of a group effort to make sure that anything that we had proposed was changed to reflect any concerns that the community might have. I know, Mayor Adams, you have suggested an amendment that I think is appropriate and fine. We might want to, before Roy talks, propose that to get that on the table before us, and therefore I shall move your amendment.
Second. The amendment in paragraph 6 in substance says that the Alliance of Minority Chambers shall meet monthly with Portland-based minority business associations and provide some examples of that, and that the Association of Minority Chambers will send a list of qualified panelists to the City of Portland on request for RFPs. And then there is a new paragraph that reads as follows: be it further resolved that the Alliance of Minority Chambers shall submit a report no later than 10 business days after the end of each quarter to the Chief Procurement Officer of the previous quarter's efforts and activities to collaborate and work with minority business associations for the purpose of developing a list of qualified minority panelists. And I think that was the intent, but it just, we put it out here in a little more language. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Anyone wish to testify on the amendment? Carla, can you please call the roll on the amendment?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved.
Roy, okay, it's your turn.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Roy J., African-American Chamber of Commerce and founder of the Alliance of Minority Chambers. And I can't tell you how pleased I feel that we've came this far. We, you know, I made a bunch of notes, but I don't go from script. Thing. What you see behind me is representatives from the Filipino-American Chamber, OAMI, Hispanic Chamber, the Native American Chamber, the Asian Business Group, Urban League, and probably a host of other group individuals that have came here primarily to support this resolution. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of controversy about, you know, what this actually does. And to put it in real simple terms, this allows people of color and small businesses, not just people of color, but and small businesses to also be sitting on an evaluation of all RFPs and RFQs for professional and technical services that the city is about to let from here on after. Now, this isn't going to come overnight, as I've talked with Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Leonard and some of the rest of you. Whatever is passed today will probably not go into effect until April or May, until all the infrastructure is put together, because all of our groups collectively will be meeting on a regular basis. You know, even though there was an amendment, this was always part of the plan. I do want to thank Commissioner Leonard for also being involved in this from the ground level as we started to move forward, because as we counsel and mentor small businesses, one of the things that they've constantly said is that they need to be at the table, not underneath the table, not on the side of the table. This is a chance. And again, I really want to emphasize, this is not a cure-all for anything, but at least we will have people at the table to evaluate some of these RFPs, RFQs that are coming out. I know that you're going to hear different testimony, pro and con, but trust me, this is for the good of the entire city, not any particular group, not Roy J., not the African-American Chamber. What you see behind me is a collection and collaboration of folks that are here to support, because this will be the first city in the nation to ever walk the walk, talk the talk, and this is goes far beyond any good faith effort. You are putting it in print that this is what we're going to do. And this is about being inclusive, not exclusive. So I don't want to go in for an hour and a half telling you all the good benefits. I think you already know. You know where we've been before. This is 25 years past due. It's time for us to step to the plate. Thank you. Again, thank you for what you're about to do, hopefully what you're about to do. I never take anything for granted. But I'm going to leave it up to everybody else to step forward and give their piece, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But we're all in this together. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Carla, how many people have signed up?
We have 10 people signed up.
Okay, please call the first three. Okay,
first three are Promise King, Harold Williams, and Juanita Walters, I believe it is.
Mr. King.
They'll be followed by Hector Cervantes, Bianca Kedney, and John Witte.
Welcome back to the City Council. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Mayor Potter,
Mayor Adams, Commissioner.
You have been here for a while.
Harold Williams, you go first. We'll let the youngster go later as he collects his thoughts.
The Mandels are about ready to get up and walk out.